From NPR, it's Latino USA. Tis the season for family get-togethers, for food, and of course, tradiciones. And there's nothing quite like the holidays to bring out the good, the bad, and the cheesy.
It was a memorable feast that winter in the chilly Northeast, and we crossed into the new year as proud property owners realizing el sueño norteamericano.
Today, celebramos la Navidad with memories of Christmases past from some of our favorite writers. Some of them are happy, but some are downright painful.
How could this have happened? A second plastic baby Jesus baked into a pan de rosca? But the X-ray proved differently. As we all saw for ourselves, the baby plastic Jesus lodged into the walls of Aunt Lydia's windpipe.
That's coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Stay with us. When Julia Alvarez was a little girl growing up in the Dominican Republic, she learned about how kids in that country got presents during the Christmas season on three different days. There was, of course, Christmas Day. Then there was the Three Kings Day on January 6th, when the wise men brought gifts. And then there was La Vieja Belén. The old wise lady left gifts for poor children who hadn't received toys on the other two occasions. When Julia Alvarez grew up, she realized that La Vieja Belén is not known outside of the Dominican Republic, and her story is disappearing now, even among Dominicans. So Julia Alvarez decided to recreate the tale of La Vieja Belén with a children's book called The Best Gift of All, The Legend of La Vieja Belén. And today, I'd like to share some of that tale. There was an old woman named La Vieja Belén who was always so busy her days had no end. She washed and she dusted, she sewed and she swept. Between batches of cookies, I suppose that she slept. As she closed up her windows one wintry night, La Vieja Belén beheld such a sight. A star shone more brightly than any she'd seen. Perhaps it was one she had recently cleaned. It beamed a bright path over oceans on shore, up hill and downhill to stop at her door. And not only that, on that path she saw coming, with a flurry of banners and a fanfare of drumming. One, two, three kings, she rubbed hard at her eyes, for believe me, just one would have been a surprise. The first said, I'm Melchor, the second, I'm Gaspar, can you guess, grinned the third, who then is Baltasar? We wonder, they asked her, if by chance you might know of a king born in a stable in the last day or so. A king born in a stable? Yes, ma'am, they repeated. A king born for the poor, not the least bit conceited. La Belén said, I'm sorry, I don't know any kings, but would you like supper and a soft bed to sleep in? But though they were famished, the kings wouldn't eat unless the old woman took part in the treat. A meal without company is meat without sauce. We can only enjoy this if you share it with us. And so she was forced to oblige their request. La Belén sat down and she dined with her guests. The kings feasted, they rested, they thanked her and smiled. They asked her to join them in search of this child. La Belén was so tempted, a king born for the poor, but her eyes fell on their mud tracks and crumbs on the floor. I'm sorry, she told him. I've got too much to do. Perhaps when I'm done here, I'll catch up with you. The next day, as she cleaned, as she made up the beds, the king's invitation went round in her head. A king for the poor, she remembered and sighed, as she gazed up with longing at the stars in the sky. By the end of the week, she glanced round in distress. My word, but her house was a terrible mess. She felt so forlorn since her three guests had gone. It no longer mattered that she get her chores done. I'll join them, she thought. What shall I bring? What would be the best gift to give to a king? She searched all her cupboards and filled up a sack with all of the treats and the toys she could pack. She set out at night, led on by that star. In a week, those three kings could not have gone far. But no one had seen them. To this day, she keeps searching. And at each house she stops, if there's a poor little urchin. She wonders, could this be the king born for the poor? And so, just in case, she leaves a treat at that door. Sometimes as she travels, she looks up to the sky, and at those times, you bet, she lets out a sigh, remembering the lesson she learned from her guests. Of all the gifts you can give, your time is the best. So if she finds children awake where she stops, she sits down on their beds and asks them, "What's up?" And believe me, she'll listen for as long as it takes, for she would not want to repeat her mistake of being too busy to give time to her friends. La vieja Belén won't be missing again. Excerpts from The Best Gift of All, The Legend of La Vieja Belén by author Julia Álvarez. We're going to take a short break now, but we'll be back in 30 segundos. Stay with us. It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Well, whatever your beliefs may be, most of us have a favorite memory from the holiday season. And no matter how old you get, Christmas is a special time of year. So today, we're taking a stroll down memory lane with Recuerdos Navideños, stories about Christmas from some of our favorite writers.
My boys have so many toys, too many toys. And thanks to their generous grandfather, they also have a Wii.
Well, as idealistic about Christmas as we'd all like to be, the truth is that retailers want you to buy your family's happiness this holiday season. But as playwright and author Josefina Lopez remembers, toys are not all that a child needs.
Seeing all their toys on the floor takes me back to my life as a little girl in Mexico. I was 5 years old when my parents brought me to this country. My father first came to the U.S. under the Bracero Guest Worker Program. He was sent back to Mexico, but then he made several trips on his own. After 4 deportations, he was finally able to send for us. My mother waited for my father for many years with me and my 5 siblings. Those years were very painful and lonely for my mother, who feared that she would be abandoned, like so many of her comadres were, whose husbands never returned. She recalls that my father left when I was just a few days old, apenitas en brazos, and he did not return until 4 years later. The day he was supposed to leave once again, I actually remember I climbed on a tree in protest and cried and made him promise me that he would not leave. He promised me that day that he would not go to El Norte, but he did. The following Christmas, I waited for him. I had written to him asking him for a doll for Christmas because I had been a very good little girl all year, and I deserved it. My mother had informed us that he was not able to come this Christmas. Being so young, she could not explain to me the complexities of crossing the border without a green card. She just said he couldn't come. The morning of Christmas Eve, I stayed in bed hoping to hear my father's voice at the door, like he did last time he came. My father was nowhere, and I kept asking my mother if he was coming, hoping that she would finally say yes, and that it was all a joke she had played on me to make me earn my doll. As it got darker, I waited and waited for my father by the door. I couldn't accept that my father was not coming. Didn't he love me? On Christmas Eve, my mother made buñuelos by hand for us, since she couldn't afford to give us gifts or make us a special dinner. When it got late, the stars came out, and I kept staring at the stars. I imagined that my father came from Los Angeles on a shiny star, and he descended from the star bearing gifts, just like Los Reyes Magos, the 3 Kingsmen. I wished and wished on a star, but he never came that night. My mother saw how sad we all were, that we had no presents. So she gave my oldest sister a few pesos to buy a simple plastic ball that we could all share. After an hour of playing with it, somebody kicked it into some bushes with thorns, and it got a hole. We had nothing left to play with, so we took off our sweaters and started chasing after fireflies and turned it into a game. As I pick up toys my sons have stopped using, I put them in a bag for donations. I smile when I'm finished, happy that my children will never know the pain of not having enough or being away from me.
Josefina Lopez wrote Real Women Have Curves. She's the founding director of Casa 0101, a theater based in Boyle Heights, Los Angeles.
It was the late 1970s, and my parents purchased our first home, a historic three-floor tenement on Central Avenue in Jersey City, New Jersey. I was beginning my first year of college, and for the first time, we as a family of five celebrated Las Navidades, the Christmas holidays, in our own home.
For José Torres Tama, a home is where the heart is.
As a family of five with my two siblings, we had lived in rented apartments for years. I had always shared a bedroom with my younger brother, and for the first time, I had my own room. We even had a backyard. My parents had pooled their money with my aunt and uncle, and collectively they purchased the building. With my three cousins, they lived on the first floor. We occupied the second and third floor. But unlike the crowded conditions that many immigrants lived in, we each had spacious railroad apartments that housed our greatest aspirations. I remember my mother's excitement as she decorated the wooden banister stairs with green garlands and placed the tacky plastic Santa Claus face on the hallway door to greet all ye who entered. I was never a big fan of the holiday plastic ornaments that my mother meticulously arranged each year to decorate our previous apartments, but I welcomed their kitschy seasonal cheer in our new home. It was a memorable feast that winter in the chilly Northeast, and we crossed into the new year as proud property owners realizing el sueño norteamericano. Fast forward to 2008, 3 years after Hurricane Katrina, my wife and our little boy Darius celebrated our first Christmas in our new home, a historic Creole double. We closed on Halloween Day, exactly 3 years before. We were evicted by a ruthless and greedy landlord who demanded that we pay rent for an apartment that was uninhabitable because of electrical damages in a ruined city that was in critical condition. The Marigny neighborhood where we lived before the storm had just been cleared for re-entry by the authorities. We returned to face an unlawful eviction after having escaped the city on a stolen school bus 3 days after the flood. It was a heavy blow to my wife and I, but as Providence would have it, good fortune came to us 3 years later when we had an opportunity to buy a house in this very same neighborhood. Last year, we celebrated our second holiday season as homeowners with our second little boy, Diego, who was born in September of 2009. We are a complete petite tribe as a family of four now. And when the holidays roll around, we remind ourselves to remain in light even during the most difficult challenges. I always remember my mother's tenacity to never fold, never give in to the dark times, and to keep the faith for a brighter future. I remember that bright plastic angel that she would have me prop up each year at the pinnacle of the Christmas tree that rooted our celebration. Once it was plugged in, the angel was lit and our hopes shined on in the festive parlor where our dreams came true. Feliz Navidad.
José Torres Tama is a writer and performance artist based in New Orleans.
Every Christmas since forever ago, my mom has given me pajamas. Sometimes blue, my favorite color, sometimes pink, my other favorite color. But always, every Christmas, I get a pair of pajamas.
For writer Mónica Teresa Ortiz, the love between a parent and a child is a bond that is not easily broken, even through the holidays.
Christmas is almost always the same for my family. It's just us in our living room with the big Christmas tree bought from a tree lot in Amarillo, decorated with baubles and ornaments collected over a lifetime. Mom plays this Christmas album by a Mexican pop group called Sparks nonstop from December the 1st to January 7th, over and over again. And no one is allowed to play anything different. But one year, the CD mysteriously disappeared. Yet somehow, my mom found a replacement at a Mexican record store in Plainview. And the music continued on. On Christmas Eve, Dad prepares menudo. My younger brothers jump into my bed around 7 or 8 a.m. to tell me Santa Claus, whom we all know as Mom and Dad, has left presents under the tree. My mom smiles a lot on this day and is even more cariñosa than normal. But my mom doesn't think I am a princess. Not anymore. Not since I was 27 and on Christmas Day, 3 years ago, she discovered my roommate, a girl, was actually my lover, and my lover, a girl, not my roommate. Mom wrote out the arithmetic and solved that equation. I still think about the way she outed me to my father. I stood in the doorway of my living room and, crucifying him more than she did me, told him bluntly, "Your worst nightmare has come true." And it suddenly did not feel like Christmas anymore. My parents asked that I agree to the don't ever tell a single soul policy, especially not your abuelitos. I would rather they be dead than find out that you are gay, my mom said. I hid my queerness in Barranquilla, Colombia, where I was stuck to a mattress with bottles of aguardiente and Boone Sangria, all of which prevented me from thinking about Texas. But I could not hide forever. A year after my Christmas coming out party, I landed on U.S. soil again. The girl I was in love with prompted me to come home to Texas. I also agreed to go visit my family for Christmas, despite swearing I would never set foot in that house again. But anything for love, right? That Christmas, unwrapping thoughtful gifts with the girl I love most in the world, and then being home with my family again, is one of my favorite memories of the holidays. I was in love, I was home, and for that small time we were together, my family did not remember the past or talk about the future. We left everything unspoken. But I don't want silence to be the gift we give to each other. Not this year or any other year, no matter how painful that is for all of us. I'd like to hug my brothers again, to eat the menudo my father painstakingly put together, and I'd like for my mom to give me yet another pair of ugly pajamas. And although I still believe that not even the confirmation of my queerness can break the bond of my family, this year, I'm spending Christmas without them.
Mónica Teresa Ortiz is a writer based in Austin. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. El Día de los Tres Reyes Magos, otherwise known as Three Kings Day, is a big celebration in Latin America. It commemorates the day that the three wise men followed the star to Bethlehem, bearing gifts for the baby Jesus.
Los tres reyes magos vienen del oriente y traen a los niños un lindo presente.
Children receive gifts on that day, and families celebrate with a big dinner. In Mexico, pan de rosca is a sweet ring bread that ends the big meal. As Michelle Cerros found out one Three Kings Day, it's a dessert with a miraculous secret.
For Three Kings Day, my family no longer buys our pan de rosca at Panadería Hermanas Hernández. Panadería Hermanas Hernández is the oldest and most popular bakery in my hometown of Oxnard, California. It is operated by seven sisters. Anyhow, the bread at Hermana Hernández is made fresh each morning, and their pan de rosca is no exception. It is moist, aromatic, and embedded with succulent figs, candied orange peel, a plethora of juicy, dark prunes. The bread not only comes with a gold paper crown, but the annual Hermanas Hernández 3D holiday calendar, featuring all seven sisters dressed in old-fashioned garb, replicating some sort of scene from the Old Testament. But it's been many years since my family ceased any and all business transactions with Hermanas Hernández, and it's entirely due to Aunt Lydia's unfortunate experience with the Second Coming. Yes, over 5 years ago, Christ appeared to my family. Not as Christ usually appears, as a burnt outline on a flour tortilla, but rather in the form of pink polyurethane plastic. It was January 6, 2005, and after a celebratory meal of homemade tamales and canned bean dip, my family had just settled down in Aunt Lydia's garage-cum-living room to enjoy the pan de rosca she had bought at the bakery earlier that day. We were all eager to see who would get the slice of bread with the little plastic baby Jesus baked inside. That person, as most know, is to host the next family get-together. And when Cousin Nevaeh found the baby plastic Jesus in her slice of bread, we all chuckled at the thought of a 9-year-old being in charge of our next get-together. Aunt Lydia laughed as well, but soon her chuckle turned to a stern clearing of the throat, followed by a severe fit of rough, hard coughs. Before long, her eyes became engorged with fear. Her face turned red, then blue. She clenched her throat before collapsing onto the floor. In the waiting room of St. John's Medical Center, my entire family paced the whole day and night, perplexed. How could this have happened? A second plastic baby Jesus baked into a pan de rosca? Unthinkable! Any baker knows the danger of such an oversight. Does the term consumer product safety even ring a bell? But the X-ray proved differently, as we all saw for ourselves the baby plastic Jesus lodged into the walls of Aunt Lydia's windpipe. Later, when we were finally allowed to visit Aunt Lydia in her hospital room, we found her sitting upright in her bed. Her vocal cords, now damaged from the scraping of Christ, made it painful for her to talk, but she found it absolutely necessary to speak. She claimed the incident to be no mere accident, but rather a conspiracy dating back to the day when, at St. Augustine's Middle School Christmas dance, she supposedly stole the last dance with Ruben Gomez away from Patty Hernandez, the youngest of the seven sisters. Ruben Gomez is now Uncle Ruben, also known as Aunt Lydia's husband.
I put a spell on you.
She always threatened to get back at me. Aunt Lydia spoke low and slow. It ain't my fault she never found a man of her own, never got married. It must kill her, stuck in that panaderia every day, every night, baking wedding cakes year after year. We will never buy anything again. at that panaderia. To me, a 40-year-old grudge derived from losing a slow dance to some R&B oldie seems a bit much, even for Mexicans. But still, Aunt Lydia is the oldest matriarch of our family, and well, she could have died. And so now, that is why my family buys all our bread at Costco, including our pan de rosca. The pan de rosca de Costco is dry and flavorless. It is embedded with hasty imprints made with a fork to replicate fruit slices and figs. The counter girl in the bakery department is sour-faced and does not offer a gold paper crown or a 3D holiday calendar. Instead, we are given a 5-digit number and brusquely instructed not to wander off or else we're going to lose our place in the long, long line. Sure, it's a big sacrifice, a small price to pay, because if it's one thing I've learned during the holidays is that one must honor and uphold family values and tradition, even if it does include a 40-year-old grudge. Yes, it's one thing to accidentally swallow a baby plastic Jesus, but to swallow one's pride? Never.
Merry Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice. Merry Christmas, pretty baby. You sure did treat me nice. Gave me a diamond ring for Christmas. Now I'm living in paradise. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. Got good music on my radio. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. Got good music on my radio.
And that's it for this week's Latino USA. Our program was produced by Mincho Jacob and Xochitl Dorsey with help from Maria Martin, Tina Rubio, Andres Caballero, and Neil Rausch at NPR New York. The Legend of La Vieja Belén is by Julia Alvarez and translated by Rina Espaillat. It was published by Grupo Santillana, Alfaguara Infantil in the Dominican Republic. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join me again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Funding for Latino USA is provided in part by the Marguerite Casey Foundation, supporting families leading change.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And Lumber Liquidators, with hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring, a floor finder app, and information online, lumberliquidators.com, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. This is NPR.